Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Me where my feet has no experience, where my feet does not recognize, lead me, Lord, lead me, Lord, lead me, Lord. Take me to where my faith is without borders. My faith is without borders. Lead me where my faith is without borders. Let me throw all caution to you, Lord. Lead me to where my feet does not recognize, Lord. Let me stand on the place of my planting, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Hill City. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. It's been a whole service already. Please, let's sit down. It's been a whole service already. So they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? He said, they required from us a song in the place of captivity. Say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Is a strange thing happening in our nation? While the nation bleeds, we're required to sing a song. We're required to tell the testimony like we heard today, of the mighty acts of our God. Like Sister Jude said, thank you for that prayer. I have seen the Lord's mercy. We are required to sing a song to testify that God is good. That the testimony of the church is that it keeps advancing. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And so today, I don't know, we'll be largely praying for the church in Nigeria. But let me just share a word with you. Let us pray. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you because the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Lord, make us a simple people that your light may flourish in us. Speak through my mouth, think through my mind. Show us this life you have called us to live in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I know you are set to do amazing thing in this place. Thank you because someone lives here and truly enters into a place where their faith is without borders. Someone leaves this place and enters into the place of your planting. Someone enters and says, I will die at my post. I will be a true soldier for Jesus. I will die at my post in the name of Jesus. Thank you because this is the testimony of your spirit that he does these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the sermon title is a place called there. Someone, Pastor Chisu, told me that there will be ministry, and this was the sermon title, you know. Thank you, Jesus. So we'll be dealing with it as the Spirit gives utterance. So God often, you know, shows us our destiny, and it's not marked in location primarily. It could be a responsibility. It could be a place actually. It could be an assignment. It could be any of those things. It could be you as a mother, as a father, as a teacher, as a banker, whatever it is you do. It could be you're there, a place called there. It could be you're there. And today the Lord is opening our eyes to see wherever he plants, he releases grace. And that there, that place that is you're there, is the intersection between God's will and your obedience. Your obedience to leave the place of your comfort. Your obedience to leave that place where you know, the song says, you know, lead me where my feet fail. Lead me to uncertainty with you, because every uncertainty in God that you do not know is a certain place. So your there could be this very uncertain place, but because you choose to leave out of obedience, the Lord brings you to a place that is certain. So it's the intersection of God's will for your life and your obedience. It's marked by your obedience. That place called there. Hallelujah. So God does not bless you everywhere. He blesses you there. God does not anoint you everywhere. He anoints you there. You can sing the Lord's song in a strange land, but you can sing it there. Hallelujah. And this morning, the Lord is showing us there. So I want to speak to the character of your there. So Deuteronomy 12:5. Say, seek the place which the Lord your God shall choose to put his name there. Seek means that you are going to actively look. It's not a passive word, it's a very active word. You're going to seek out the place the Lord your God shall choose. So the Lord chooses your there. The Lord chooses your there. It's not a place where you desire to go to by yourself. It's not a business you desire to get into by yourself. It's not a marriage you desire by yourself to get into. Everything that expresses itself in your life is your there. And the Lord is saying it is the place that I choose. Why? Because his grace in that place is sufficient. So he says, when you are in that appointed there, you are sanctified. He says, a place of my choosing. Because here he began to speak to the children of Israel about a place of worship. He said, but I will choose that place. I will appoint that place. So your walk, your life, whatever it is you do currently is a place of worship, is a place where God desires praise, is a place where God desires to take territory. So when Pastor Chisholm began to speak about the TCC church being a territorial church, I came to the understanding that it's not just that the church is a territorial church. It is that you as an individual is a territorial person. It's that God wants to live his days through you. It's that God wants to perpetuate the kingdom through you. It's that God wants to conquer and dominate a place through you. So he says the place of worship will be the place I will choose. The place you will worship me, the thing that you will do to give me praise will be my choosing. You will not desire, you will not tell the Lord how you want it to be done. So Uzzah died when he wanted to help the cat so that it doesn't fall down. So he wanted to help the Lord. Why? It was a noble thing to do that the ark of the Lord does not fall to the ground. But the Lord said, it is not how I would be worshipped. And so people can die when they don't know their place. Hallelujah. The next character is God orders you into your there. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a godly man are ordered of the Lord. The steps of a godly man are ordered by the Lord. You don't choose there. God orders your step. So first is that the Lord chooses the there. And then he begins to move you. He begins to move resources. He begins to move things. So Sister Ju shared a testimony here. And she's saying when they said you can't get a house from offshore, because the Lord was the one choosing, he began to order. He began to align things for their sake. He began to draw men, as scripture would say. He says, I would get a man from the Far East, but my counsel will stand. He said, if I need a ravenous bed, that's how mighty our God is. He begins to shift the cosmos just for you as though you are the only one there. And sometimes he begins to look unfair to the people in the same race. But with our God and you there, he moves things for your behalf. You know, I think in the early 2000, mid-2000, it was said, it's the Lord who breaks protocol for my sake. You know, these things are true. So when men go and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 steps they ought to pass, you go and it's shortened and you don't know a man. You come at us and I don't know a man. You know the one whose scripture declares is the maker of the heavens and the earth. Knowing a man will be, will be so insignificant compared to knowing, being the child of the monarch of the universe. So he begins to shift things on your behalf because he orders the steps of a godly man. Hallelujah. The next character of your dare is that destiny begins there. So Abraham, his journey began because this is, the Bible says here, that you know, and God said to Abraham, go to the land I will show you. Media. Go to the land I will show you. Genesis 12, 1 to 2. I'm calling media because I actually shared this scripture yesterday with them. So sorry, forgive me. So he said, go to the land that I will show you. Destiny begins at the moment you accept and obey to go. The Bible says concerning Abraham that he just packed up, leaving his father, his people, his tribe, the place of comfort, the place where he knew. And then he set out. And guess what? He set out and decided to live as a pilgrim. The Bible said he lived in tent. Why? Because he looked for a city whose builder is God. City whose foundation and the architect is God. And so he refused and sojourned in the land as a pilgrim all his days. Why? Because there was an eternal perspective at work in him. So destiny for him was to see a city built by the hands of God. And he did not rest in any location. So for us as believers, when you enter your dare today, there is another dare for tomorrow. So you entered into this marriage and then your husband and wife. There is a dare called parenthood. So you don't rest on your oars after the first dare. There is always a place in God. There are places in God. And every day you pick up Jesus speaking, and you say, you take up your cross daily and you follow me. Because daily there is a there. The things you did not do yesterday can appear today and it will be the pool of destiny. So God is saying to us, because of what Abraham did, you know, he refused to permanently dwell in houses built by hands. But the Bible said he stayed in tents because there was something he was seeking for. And then yesterday, as Pastor Banky was preaching, he spoke about John the Baptist, and that spoke to me greatly. Our dare begins when we know the will of God for our lives. And the only way we can know that is to open the book of life. So he said about John the Baptist, when they came to him and said, who are you? Are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Who are you? From 1 John 1:23. And they began to ask him this series of questions. But John the Baptist quoted from Isaiah. And he said, as Isaiah 43, he said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness. When Isaiah made that prophecy, he said he did not call a name. When Isaiah made that prophecy, he did not attribute it to himself. It was just a prophecy that in time, a Messiah will come and there will be a forerunner. But when it came to John the Baptist and they were asking, he said, I am that one. A voice in the wilderness crying out, make way for the Lord. Prepare a highway unto our God. He knew he's there. He entered his there. Not just by prophecy, but by reading, by knowledge. He studied the word. And Jesus speaking again said, I have come in the volume of the book that is written about me. To do your will. So today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Why? Because he littered the volume of the books written about him. You can find your life in scripture. There is something written about you. And the Lord did not keep it in hiding. He said, my thought for you. He said, there is a thought in my heart for you. He said, they are good, no evil, to bring you to your death, to bring you to an expected end. So John the Baptist arrived at his death from the word, from the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. Hallelujah. Today, someone enters into their death. Someone enters into that place the Lord has prepared for you. Someone, by the auction of the Spirit, is moved from this place of complacency, this place of comfort, to that there where you would do the bidding of the Lord in the name of Jesus. One of the character of the there is that the blessings are commanded, and you're there. Speaking about Elijah, the Bible said, you go, stand up, go to the brook of Cherith. They said, a raven will come and feed you there. And when the brook dried up, the Lord said, go to a widow in Zarephath. A widow, not any widow. There was a specific widow the Lord has sent Elijah to in Zarephath. He said, go there. Why? I have asked the raven to feed you. Your provision is in your there. Blessings are commanded. So Psalm 133 speaks, okay, the lower part of Psalm 133, ending part 3. He said, and there the Lord commanded the blessing. He said, even life forevermore. In your there, the Lord commands his blessing. It's not a place of struggle. Why? Your blessing is not random. Your blessing is not anywhere. Your blessing is not everywhere. Your blessing is commanded. And it's commanded when you get to your place and position yourself and you're there. Your blessing finds you there. One of the character of your there is that grace is supplied in abundance. Hallelujah. There is sufficient grace in your there. Hallelujah. So Paul, in the book of Romans 9:2-3... Paul had gone on to preach to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to his brethren in Israel, wanting them to enter into the same testimony and encounter. He had come into Christ, and he wanted to prove to them that, you know, why zeal for the Lord consumed him in the past, in Judaism. Now he has entered into a true knowledge, and he wanted them, because he too was a Pharisee. So he wanted his brethren who had the same zeal to come into the same knowledge. But the Bible recorded that he was beaten every time he went to speak to the Israelites. He went to speak to the Pharisees. Whenever he goes to the temple, most times he was persecuted. People expressed profound disgust for the message he came with. There was no grace in that place. So he got tired. And in Romans 9:2, he said, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul was wishing that he would be made a curse, that he could be cut off from the commonwealth of Christ, that he could even go to hell if only these people whom he had fought together with, you know, brothers in arms, could know the Lord. So he did not have grace with the Israelites to preach to the Pharisee or to preach at the temple. Hallelujah. So whatever sacrifice he made, whatever language he used, you know, one of the things we are told when we are praying is that God will send you in the language a person hears. So when you're going for evangelism, the Lord sends people in a language that they hear. So you could go there and speak their native tongue in Igbo, speak as plainly as possible, they won't repent. Then someone will go there and with high falutin words that they did not understand. And then they will come to Christ. And you're wondering, what is this language? It's the language of the Spirit, because it's the Spirit who convicts men. So Paul spoke in their language. He was setting, he was able to communicate with these people. But then there was no grace. Then in Galatians 2:9, Paul began to recount how James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John gave him and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. And he spoke and he said, the same grace that was on Peter to the Israelites, that same grace abounds in me even to the Gentiles. You see, you're there. Has a supply of grace, a healthy and overflowing supply of grace. So when you are in a place and you're consistently struggling, it may be a sign that that is not your day. This is not the place of my rest. Hallelujah. So Isaac dug a well and there was contention. He dug another, there was contention. He dug yet another. And it says, now this is a robot. But you see, we can start fights. The first time we dug a well on somebody, okay, let's say we give up the first time. The second time, it will not be easy to take it from us. But he recognized that in his there must be a level of grace. And if he does not find it, he knows the Rehoboth had not come. Hallelujah. Today, someone begins to audit their life, audit the things around them and see where you are struggling and began to ask the Lord, invite the Spirit of God to help you see the place of your rest, to help you see where the grace is sufficient, to help you see where the grace of the Lord abounds for you to do the things He has called you to do in the name of Jesus Christ. So in our dare, I'll be using the story of David to tell about our dare. Hallelujah. So the song says, I would die at my post. I will be a true soldier. I would die at my post. So today's message, I'll be focusing on David, sent there for a purpose. You see, the thing with there is that the Lord ordains your there. But there are so many instruments and ways the Lord could lead you to there. It could be directly from His mouth. Stand up, my son, go there. It could be through many walkings, through many counselors, like Sister Ju said, you know, and the Lord is showing you're there. This is the next step. This is the thing you will do. That happens. That really happens, and it still happens all the time. And every one of us have those testimony where the Lord began to inspire thought. The Lord began to inspire us. The Lord begins to, you know, bring God, color people in our hearts. And then you reach out to them and there's a there opens up. So that happens. But the Lord could equally send you there prophetically through the mouth of His prophet. So the Bible said, without He does not do a thing without His prophets. So God could send you there through the mouth of His prophets. And one place the Lord has sent TCC to is to the city of Enugu. We know that, right? Are we aware that we are in our dare in the city of Enugu? So when Pastor Chisom prophesies and say these things, we are a territorial church, we're a city set on, it's not just, you know, she wants to just keep talking about these things. It's that this is your dare. The city of Enugu is your dare. And the Lord begins to focus where the tools of walking in your dare, where He has put them. And then He brings you to the Cornerstone Church. So He begins to narrow down. This is where your arsenal, your artillery is to conquer. You're there. So you begin to know how you fit into what God is doing in the city of Enugu. You are no longer lost in the citizenship of Enugu. You are no longer lost in the crowd. It's that the Lord has sent you here, and the vehicle through which is going to dominate is TCC. And then through His word, hallelujah, through His prophet. So let's look at 1 Samuel 17:17-19. And this was David, the father has sent him. He said, now go to the Mount of Elah. It's set there. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Media, take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their units. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah. So he sent him to this certain place where they were fighting. He said, go there and see how the war, how your brothers are faring, and carry some supplies along with them. At this time, David had been anointed. So on the day the Lord said to Samuel, he said, go to the house of Jesse. There you anoint for me a king. Samuel went to the house, and before he went to the house, he said to Jesse, bring your sons that they may go through the purification rite. So they all came and went through the purification rite, but David was absent. So they have gone through the rite of passing into kingship, the rite of passing into the anointing. They have all come to Samuel at this place of meeting, and Samuel has, as it were, prepared them for the one who will be king. But David was absent. I just want you to connect to your dad. Because you can be saying, I'm not graced for this position. I am not graced for what I've been called to do. The shoe is too much for me to feel. The people are too mighty. They are giants in the land. The Bible declares concerning David, he was absent on the day where it mattered, where men were prepared, were purified for kingship. And so he wasn't warned to go to battle. Because you're not a king. You're not a king type. You're not a soldier. Your place is with the mundane. So the fighting men who looked themselves like kings were all enlisted in Saul's army. So they were there in the mountain of Elah. And then David came to the mountain of Elah. And then he saw what was happening. And as he approached, he heard Goliath threatening. And David knew, even though he was not prepared, purified for the kingship, when Samuel came to his house on that day, he was the one who was anointed. David knew that day had arrived. And whether he was prepared, because I'm not sure when the father called him, he had a sermon note prepared. But he knew the stage was set for his first sermon. He knew the stage was set for his first testimony. Imagine today we just have Testimony Sunday. And then for some reason, nobody indicated. But somehow we must fill the quota. And they say, Sister Ruth, quickly, come give us a testimony. And she's wondering, did they miss the name? Me? How? You know? Because there is no preparation. It was not so with David. Because with your dare, the Lord equips you in the secret. So the things you are going through, the things you have been through, the things you're currently doing, and it looks like no one sees you, it's the Lord preparing you for your dare. So on Wednesday, Pastor Chisholm was preaching. He said, who here has ever felt unseen? In those moments when you feel unseen, in those moments where you feel the Lord is not with you, there is a working of the Spirit in you. There is a preparation of the Almighty for your day tomorrow. So don't take for granted every experience you go through, because the Lord is preparing you to stand in public and then to testify. Hallelujah. So if you can go to 26, verse 26, then 32 to 47. So he recorded that when the father said this to David, first thing in the morning, he got up and then he departed for the mountain of Eli in obedience to what the father said. You know, he could be crying. I'm the anointed one. I'm the one who is supposed to be king. They didn't send me. It's not, it's me that will be running errand, Abi. Eh? When Prophet Samuel came, yeah, didn't he see our first son looking like a king? But look at him now. Then it's me. Am I not the king? Who should be running around for me? No, none of those things. He left very early in obedience to God and then to the word of his father, and went with that supply to this place. David asked the man standing near him, what will be done? You know, when he entered, he looked at the terrain and everything he had been through. And while he was there, Goliath kept backing. And then he said, who is these uncircumcised Philistines that he should defy the armies of the living God? No one in the camp of Saul knew that they were armies of the living God. The Bible declares that the armies of God, they are not flesh, they say they are spirits. David knew a thing about the army of God. He knew just with him he was a spirit man. And he knew that he was not there to fight in flesh, but in spirit. So he spoke about the camp of Saul as though these were men who were spiritual men, who had sight to see that with God you're not ordinary. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? And that sentence alone, through the battle from the physical arena of the Mount of Elah to a spiritual battle. It was no longer the physical fighting. It was no longer the boy David standing before this giant who they said had been a warrior from his youth. It was David who had become spirits, who has become cloven tongues of fire, because the Bible said the armies of the Lord, it said they are spirits, they are not flesh. I say this to say that as the war rages in our nation, we enter into a place where we know that the battle line has been drawn in the spiritual. It is not us fighting. It's not the Christian genocide. It's not the Christian being slaughtered. It's none of that. It's that we have entered in the realm governed by the armies of the living God. And someone, when you rise upon your prayer altar and you declare this prayer, is that you know what the battle really is. Is that you know what the stakes are. Is that you have asked what will be given to the man who drawn men unto Christ. The Bible said it was shine as stars, that he that brings men to Christ is wise and will shine as stars. Hallelujah. I hope I'm by the sermon inspiring someone that when you get to your prayer altar, you begin to declare words, spiritual words. Say, who are these uncircumcised Philistine defiling the army of the living God? Thus far and no further. You push back the man of stronghold. You push him back to wherever they are coming from. We have the capacity as children of the kingdom to do that. Hallelujah. So in obedience, David went. Elijah, when the Lord said to him, eat, for the journey is too long, go to the brook of Cherith, he arose in obedience. Abraham arose in obedience. And you will arise in obedience. Hallelujah. So the temptation most times is to think that this thing I'm doing is actually beneath me. I'm going to leave it. And so you just begin to think. So I heard from Shera. Pastor Shera, what's her name? Priscilla Shera. Yeah. I heard her tell a story of how this young girl she had come to know, who has served as a nanny, as a babysitter for her sister, her cousin, and some people around them. So she didn't know her from church, because these connections actually brought her to church. And this was an up mobile young girl who was doing well career wise, as in climbing the corporate ladder. And then one day she began to see this movement and the spirit of the Lord leading her away from the corporate world. And without a place to go to, she had begun to pray and inquire of the Lord, but there was nothing. But then, you know, the master's business requires urgency. There was this urgency of the spirit that she should leave. And she left. Have you left and the Lord keeps silent? Have the Lord said go, and then you enter and the Lord is quiet, and the Lord seems like he has deserted you? So she felt deserted. 3 months, and she said, 3 months turned to six months to a year, then 2 years. And at this point, she had begun to become weary. What's the next move of God in my life? And all this while, she's been babysitting children. But because she loved the Lord, she would teach Bible. She would come with, you know, these different things to just make sure by the time she's leaving in the evening, the children would have memorized the scripture. So that kept her going for 2 years. But at 2 years, she was tired. You know, when you're tired and you're like, God, come sit with me and let's have this honest talk. You know, I was in that place recently and I'm like, oh, even you. You know, so while I complained about the people I feel had left me, the people I feel had deserted me, you know, and I just imagined that the Lord was sitting on the other side saying, my daughter is okay. And I turned to him and said, even you have deserted me. So don't go saying, don't worry, we'll be okay. You too. You haven't been with me. So 2 years. And then while she was having this time with the Lord, a call came for her to babysit. And as she would do normally, she made a casserole and then made way to this lady's house, who happens to be Priscilla's sister. So as they were going out for the evening, and she ran down the stairs, she saw her with a plate of casserole. And she heaved a sigh of relief, like, oh, thank you. And then she heard the Spirit say to her, as she entered into the door, observe everything. So her eyes were quickened to begin to grab the things that were happening in her space. So she saw that, you know. So she dropped the casserole and then she left with her husband. So she began to nurture the kids. And the moment they said to the kids, oh, sister, so-so-so person is here, they jumped up in such excitement. And this was the first time she would notice that. They were so excited to see her. They came, and as they were filing down, everybody wanted to adu the other with a song she had taught, which was a Bible song. And the Spirit kept highlighting, see the things I'm doing in you. By the time the evening was gone, she began to cry that, oh my God, this is the place of my assignment. This is my death. Because the Lord said, I have called you to nurture nations for me. Somebody will be thinking, for someone who was upward mobile, she probably was earning. But you see, the thing with the Lord is, when Peter asked him, we have left everything in pursuit of you, he said, in this life. Oh, Kata, in this life, no one who leaves father, mother, sister, children, no one who leaves a career, no one who leaves the things that are temporary for me, for the king and his kingdom, in this life will have 100%. And he says, in the life to come, in the life to come, the agony is that we judge those things in material things. We think that if we have left all to serve the master, my car should be bigger, should be finer. I should come into a wilder place, literally. My house should be finer and bigger. There should be some proof that I'm working for the master. But when the Lord say, in this life, if you're able to come to the eyes of eternity, if you're able to value the things that I value, everyone who has left all for me will receive 100-fold in this life. He said, if you're able to value, you will see that even though you are Paul, making tents and Paul, he said, I was making many rich. You will see that 1,000 years after, doctrinally, you will still be relevant. If you're able to count as heaven counts, you will know that the things you have called into are not for the now. They are not things that can fizzle out. They are not things that are temporary. They are not things that can be shaken. Because the Bible says when the Lord appears, everything that will be shaken will be shaken. When you put your faith in Jesus, it's one of those things that will not be shaken. Hallelujah. And God is saying to someone, obey, come up, come to the place of your dare. Because in this place, there is provision for you. In this place, my grace is super abundant. Beyond all this, in this place, there is the pool of eternity in your life, turning men to righteousness, shining as bright as the star at the dawn of the morning of the Christ. God is saying, come, if you will, come. Ministry opens in your day is one of the lessons we learn with David. So when he appeared, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living Lord? And then he began a sermon. You know, that was a quick charge. He just charged the people. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? So everybody turned and they were looking, and he's a boy. So of course, if I were to be Goliath, I'll be as angry. So Goliath was angry. Am I a dog? You see, the testimony of Goliath is that boys play with dogs. He was still fighting in the mountain of Elah when David had elevated the battlefield to the heavenly. So he stayed at the mountain, and then he was calling himself a dog. But David was declaring in the same battlefield that I am a spirit. I am the army of God. I am not flesh. You come against me with these things that are temporary, these things that can be shaken, these things that are visible. I will use a stone, but that's not where I come against you with. That is not in the place I come against you in. I come against you in the name of the Lord. David knew he was going to use a sling. He knew. So why didn't he say that after he caught his own equipment? After he said to Goliath, your own is a sword, your own is spear, my own is sling. You know what I mean? It would have just been the next thing to say. But he said, I come against you. I come in the name of the Lord. He began to preach the sermon and charge the Saul and charge the armies of Saul, saying to them, you cannot defile our God. How so often we are the very people who defile this God who has called us to our death, who has called us, dressed us, graced us, and brought us to this place where he wants to super abundantly show his grace through us. How so often are we the ones saying we can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Your ministry begins in your death. Your ministry is activated in your day. Your ministry starts. You see why David was anointed in the house of Jesse? No one knew. It had not been made public. But today, that oil that was poured in the secret place was overflowing into the public. People are beginning to see the ministry of his priesthood. But though a youth, because when Saul called him, he said, you are but a youth. This man has been a warrior all the days of your life. Hallelujah. Another lesson we learn is that there is where your testimony becomes your weapon. So when Saul inquired of him and said to him, come, he said, your servant has slain a bear. He did not ascribe that due to himself. He said, by the help of God, a bear came charging at my sheep. A lion came, and by God's help, I struck them down. He began to tell the testimony that Saul saw him differently. I'm sure Saul began to size him. You kill a lion, you a bear. And if you live in that territory, chances are, you know the bear that actually comes around. You know that they are the grizzly one. You know the lions that come to eat sheep. You know that they are the big ones. So did not draw a lion on the ground. He knew what he was saying. So Saul's focus gradually began to shift as he began to tell the testimony of how the Lord came through in the backside, of why he was alone and the Lord came through. If no other thing, the Lord will want to. The Bible said his eyes are on those, hallelujah, that he may show himself what? Strong and mighty on their behalf. So David knew that if anything, the Lord wants to show himself strong and mighty. So I might as well tell the story. I might as well tell the testimony. And then he began to recount of his experience in the wilderness. Hallelujah. So confidence was built. Why the brothers are saying, you are proud. Because I'm sure many times he had told them the story and they didn't believe him. And they wonder, if it's so true, how come none of your friends knew? So that day, on the stage, he was telling this testimony to the whole Israelites. And they say, you are proud. You are proud. But I've told you this story many times. You didn't believe. Now is my opportunity to tell the story of the Lord's deliverance. Hallelujah. And then when Saul had gained confidence in this ruddy young man, he said to him, come try my armor. The word teaches us that the best of the word is something to hold on to. That the best of the word, even as believers, is something you should have an ambition towards. The word teaches us too, that when you were gravitating towards anything, it should be the thing that has the stamp of success by the word. The word has to rate it. It's either a triple A. It's either Harvard Business School. It's either this or that. The word has all those ratings. And they say, if you must seek, make sure you are seeking these high ones. Because, you are recognized everywhere. You are brought into Ivy Leagues. You are brought into, into exclusivity by what the word judges as success. So when David came to Saul and he dressed him in the armor of the king, that's any fighter's dream. Whose armor would you rather wear? A soldier or the king? The Bible talks about a time when Ahab and another and the king of Israel went into battle and Ahab was dressed. The Bible said when the Philistine shot an arrow, it came through a little opening. The armor of the king is such a good armor. So that was the armor Saul had worn on David. If Goliath tries you with the sword, 100% probably would miss, or he will hit the iron metal. And so you have a good chance to dodge. So every armor that is untested, every armor, no matter how good the word says it is, will fail you because it is the armor flesh. But five tried stones were better than the armor of a king that was untested. So stay in your place. Stay where the Lord is putting you. Do not compare your journey with another. Paul speaking said, they that compare themselves to one another, he said, they are not wise, they are fools. So stay in your place of calling. Stay in your assignment. Stay in your place of gifting, because it is in that place that you are able to bring down giants. Hallelujah. And then he said to him, this I have not tried. I can't use this. So he undressed himself, which looked foolish, while everyone watched. I'm sure even Goliath at this point was saying, bread, it's just one hand. I will tear this boy into two. He came out from that armor. And David would not stay quiet. In your place of assignment, don't stay quiet. It is said that the Christians, we are people who just want to accommodate. We want to accommodate everything in the world. How much of the world can we take in and still make it to heaven? So that's the Christian faith, as it were, which is wrong. That's what we have been called. We have the word has come to ascribe to us. It's the Christian that will just stay and not complain about whatever is happening. Why? Because you want to be liked. No. The Bible says Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he said he endured what? The cross. He endured the cross. He endured shame. The gospel we preach is a gospel of shame. But you have to first enunciate in yourself that I will overcome shame. That I will look at the joy that is set before me. that will look at the people causing trouble on the outside. If I'm able to get 10 of them, that's 10 less souls causing trouble around me. But you know, we want to be politically correct. So we blend with the word. We stay with the word. We accommodate the word. But the testimony of scripture says, do not conform yourself. And to conform yourself, say, in any manner of shape, do not look like the word. He said, you have been called out, separated, called out of the word. From every tribe, every people, every tongue, separated unto Christ. He said, you cannot look like the word. You cannot accommodate the word. You cannot be the word. You cannot be like the word. So he looked at the armor of Saul and said, this is the quality of what the word systems are made of. Goliath had his sword, and when David had conquered Goliath, it was recorded that the sword of Goliath was kept well. Can you imagine that? Not the sword, not the sword of Saul. You remember David took that sword sometime? It wasn't the sword of Saul. Why? Because it was a reckon that this sword carried by this warrior must be power in it. So the word shows us little by little the things we can begin to ascribe God to, the things we begin to idolize, and we call them being woke. We call them, you know, just knowing your place in the world, fitting into the world. You have been called out. You have been called out of the world. And Jesus is saying this morning, every armor of the world is an armor of flesh. The testimony of flesh is what it fails. The testimony of flesh is that it fails. Everyone who hearkens to anything in the flesh comes back with a testimony that it failed. And the Lord is saying to us this morning as a church, if you must pull down giants, it will be with the instruments and the equipping of the Lord. If you must bring down battles, if you must let the battles turn in the favor of the king and his kingdom, then you must be certain of the armor you're wearing, and it must be the armor of the Lord. Hallelujah. So God must reign through us. So in your dare, learning from the lessons of David, you dominate. So while a boy without the army backing him, he dominated. He said to Goliath, I will take down your head without a sword. But he said to Goliath, I will cut off your head so that you will know the battle is the Lord's. And then he made a move, picked 5 stones. And then Goliath came down. And the Bible recorded that he cut off the head of Goliath. He dominated. So in Genesis, the Bible declares that we go, hallelujah, and this command to subdue the earth, we go to dominion, we have dominion, and then we bring the earth to the subjection of the Christ Jesus, of our Lord and Christ Jesus. And this is what God is asking. It's a command. It's the divine mandate of heaven that each and every one of us, our dare is be to recruit men into righteousness. Our dare is to perpetuate the kingdom of God so well that it permeates every nook and cranny of the cosmos. That is the mandate of God in our lives. And if you're not doing it, you start now. If you're not doing it, you begin to ask the Lord, Lord, equip me afresh. Equip me anew. Wear on me the grace to begin to use the armor of the Spirit of God everywhere you have called me into, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So as I round up, Colossians 2, 6 to 7 says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ, as ye has therefore received Christ Jesus, as Lord, continue to live. Say, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding there. Abounding where? Where is the there? In Christ Jesus. Abounding there. Brethren, we have been called to a place called Christ. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our breath. We have everything in him. We have been called to a dare called Christ Jesus. If adventure, you don't know where your dare is. It begins with Christ Jesus. It begins with Christ Jesus. You can't fulfill everything in the natural if you don't know your dare. You can't fulfill anything in your home if you don't know your dare. In your business or in your work, wherever you think you are influencing now without Christ Jesus is a sham. Oh, the Lord is saying, therefore, he said, you have been taught to abound in Christ Jesus if you have received him. So this is me saying to someone who says, how do I know my dear? How do I begin my journey from here to there? And you haven't known the Lord Jesus. You haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus. Your dare begins in Christ. Your dare begins in Christ. So if you're that person in the service who is saying, my heart is not right with God, who is saying, I haven't known the Lord Jesus, who is saying, my ways are wrong, I want to rededicate myself to Jesus, oh, bow down your head this morning. As you begin to speak to the Lord Jesus, say, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive you. The Bible is saying in Colossians 2:6, it said, you have received Christ Jesus. Someone received Christ Jesus this morning. Receive Christ Jesus this morning. He defines your dare. He gives you the identity of your dare. He lets you know your dare. He lets you know the place where the grace of God is sufficient for you. He lets you enter into the place where you cease from your own labor. He lets you enter into the place where your struggles come to an end. Enter this morning into Christ Jesus. Receive Christ Jesus. Receive Christ Jesus. Someone open your heart to the Lord. Bible declares he's knocking at your heart this moment. He's knocking at your heart this moment. If you will say this prayer with me. Oh Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Begin my day. Open up to me this life in Christ Jesus. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose for my sake. Oh, come into my heart this morning and make me anew, that I may know the things you have called me into in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. If you made this prayer in your heart this morning, please locate any one of the pastors after service and speak to the pastor. So we're praying this morning. Let's be upstanding and just begin to pray. The Church of Christ in Nigeria is going through a time of persecution. It's going through a rough time. But the Bible says in Isaiah, it said, do not say what a confederacy is. It said, do not believe their lie. Do not believe their conspiracy. It said, let the Lord alone. It said, Lord, do not dread that dread. Do not fear that fear. The thing the devil wants to do in this season is to capture the heart of the believer with fear. That when you are fear, he can strike. Open your heart this morning and begin to push back fear. Begin to push back fear. I do not call it confederacy, what the nations of the earth call confederacy. So there is this, the U.S. is coming. We don't care who is coming. The scripture declares the earth is the Lord. The earth is the Lord. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Nigeria, you are the Lord. Open your mouth, declare Nigeria, you are the Lord. The Bible said the fullness thereof. All they that dwell in it, all they that dwell in it, the Igbos, the Yorubas, the Hausas, the Fulanis, the Shekiris, the Domas, the Tiv, the Galas, day that dwells in it. Oh, kapora nandin kabalangi baha. Oh, kitanta rabagada baha. Oh, the ethic, the epibio, the calabari, the shakaris, the rubbles, the chos. All day that dwells in it. The Lord is the governor among the nations. He's the governor among the nations. This morning, just begin to put the praise of the Lord where it belongs. Nigeria, you're the Lord. Nigeria, you're the Lord. We send back the nation to you, the four corners of this nation, from the east, the west, the north, and to the south. And we declare, Nigeria, you're the Lord. Seat enthroned over the nation. Seat enthroned over this nation. Seat enthroned over the nation. Mato ninga laba toka brandenga linga baha. Shavranda badin kapakasi na rababa do teke na bronke balangi baha. Oh, Paul speaking in Acts, he said that the Lord gave boundaries. He gave the times and season for each one of them that sold your heart may seek the Lord. You are in Enugu because the Lord wants you to seek the Lord. Oh, Pastor Bank is saying, when you are called the citizen of Nigeria, is that you will rise up in intercession. Oh, open your mouth this morning. Oh, Kate, Nabranda Libakabaha. We have sent watchers against your war, Nigeria. We have sent watchers against your war, Nigeria. We give you no rest. We give you no rest till Nigeria becomes a praise. Till the banner of the Lord is lifted high. Till the knowledge of the Lord covers the Nigeria as the water covers the sea. In the name of Jesus, we give you no rest. Are you here, watchers, this morning? Open your heart. Let your cry be unto the Lord. Oh, open your heart this morning. Open your heart this morning. I think by now your heart should bleed. Oh, more than 200. We don't know the numbers. More than 100. Whatever it is, even if it's one child. Oh, kidnapped from a school. Oh, matalaga banda proteke bandarabaha. Oh, the Bible said even the legal captive, even the legal captive shall be set free. We set them free, Kappa. Nemando ke paranki pasa kamanamaha. We set them free. We set them free by the mercies of the Almighty. We set them free. We set them free. We set them free. We say the hands of the wicked will not perform their enterprise. We set them free. Maro takala kapapa. Ragadina manda ragabalagi paranda namaha. Oh, Nigeria, Nigeria, you will be a praise unto Jehovah. You will be a praise unto our God. Oh, Nakika, Roma kapa shakabaha. Because he's the governor among the nations. He's the governor among the nations. Are there watchers in this house this morning? Let your cry go up to heaven. Let your cry go up to heaven. Meke nata banga liba rakapaha. Oh, kika nata bam 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 bangi baraha. Oh, the uncle of Esther said to her that you may be in the palace today. You may refuse to do nothing today because your place is secured. But he's saying, our salvation will arise for us. And when he arises, don't think that it won't come for you. So this morning we arise. Thus far, no further. If a people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Oh, nakala nama na badon kalabadin kabaha. If we humble ourselves and pray, Lord, we pray your mercy over our nation, over our governors, over the president. We pray your mercy. Let mercy that drops judgment, let it speak for the church. Let it speak for Nigeria. Let it speak for Nigeria. Oh, mikato nanda balangi bagaha. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord, in our nation. Have your way, Lord, in our nation. Turn down the hands of the mighty. Oh, Nabokata Rabranga Balanga Baha. Rescue and deliver your people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.